This morning, I'm not going to preach because I'm going to let the very well-dressed John Stevenson preach. Why don't you come up here, John? I would ask John to preach more, but he's one of these people, like a lot of us in the church, that are so busy with everything. He always has so much going on. I feel like, I can't ask him too often because he's balancing as many balls as he can possibly balance at any point in time. So, but every few months, I do like to say, hey, John, what do you think? And so I asked him about a month and a half ago. We got this on the calendar today. And he's always well-dressed. He's always full of media because that's one of his gifts. What is that email address you have?
Free the designer
or something. Yeah. So he has all these artsy kind of gifts that I have none of. I don't think he can really make a presentation without using the media. And it's one of the things I like about him. I don't see your wife here right now. She must be downstairs.
She's serving downstairs.
But yeah. I think we've all, if you know John and Lindsay, you've really grown to love and appreciate this family. They are the real deal in every way. I've known them for so many years and walked through so many things with them, and I just feel honored that God puts people like this in our church. I love them. I respect them. I've seen their lives. They're the real thing. And so we really appreciate your family, John Stevenson, very much. So let me give you a hug. And
thank you.
Why don't you share what's on your heart this morning? Okay?
Amen.
You have everything you need?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So first of all, I want to start with just how I'm dressed. I may look really good on inside, on the outside, but inside, there's a lot of dirt inside. So the title of my message today is I'm Angry with the Cards I've Been Dealt. because a lot of times we may have a family member that we're praying for to come to the Lord. We may have, I've heard stories where a wife walked away from her husband with his best friend in the last 2 weeks from a friend, and we get angry, right? We get angry with those situations, and I think you have a right to be angry, but not sin with that anger, amen? So I want to talk to you today about John and how God is working through my heart, because I'm an angry man. I may look happy all the time, but inside there's a lot of anger inside, and God had to deal with me. So I hope to speak to some of you today, and I pray that the Lord works through the word. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to go ahead and kind of start a video for you guys, and I'm going to kind of push that out. Here we go.
Have you ever thought about the cards that you've been dealt? Have you ever taken the time to examine your life as if it were a hand of cards? For many of you, you would look at the hand that you've been dealt and go, I've been given a great hand. I don't want to change a thing. And still there are others. You would look at a few of your cards and you would go, these are the hard and bitter cards. It's as if we would say, if I could just trade in these cards, my life would be so much better. But that's just it. You can't trade in the cards that you've been dealt. These are your cards, whether you like the way they feel or not. It's interesting. The people that we want validation from, the people we want to like us, the people we want to impress, we hide these uglier cards behind the more noble, significant, prettier cards. These are the cards that we want people to see. These are the cards that we've based so much our identity on. It's human nature, I guess. But deep down, we know the cards that we've been dealt. There's no escape in it. It's who we are. We can't reshuffle the deck. We can't trade any of them in. It's in our DNA. It's in our makeup. The truth is, you are all in. But what if we stopped? What if we stopped and just took some time to look at the hands that we've been dealt? Is it coincidence, or is it just life, or is it God? The argument would be, why would an all-knowing, all-loving God give me this deck of cards? If he really loved me, why these cards? And these are the cards of pain, of chaos, of guilt, of hurts, of hang-ups, of habits. And amongst this deck, for some of you, there are some really cruel cards. Cards of rejection, depression, addiction, abuse, and the card that none of us can escape from. But if we were to stop and think back, there are some great cards in this deck, like when you were a little kid and the first time that you made your dad laugh and he laughed so wholeheartedly, that was a great card. That was a great day. The first time you tied your shoes. Your first kiss. When you graduated college and nobody said that you could do it. The first time that you used your gifts and talents and someone looked at you and you knew they meant it and said, you are good at this. And the first time you stood up for yourself. These are the pretty cards. These are the ones that we move to the front of the deck. It's a sad truth, but we really care what other people think of us. And these are the cards that we reuse. We relive. We reshuffle because we care for validation from other people. But what does God think? What if God were to take a look at all our cards? Which ones would he choose? More than likely, they would not be the prettier, significant cards, but they would be an array of both good and bad cards. So you see, he wants to use the most heart-wrenching cards as much as he wants to use the cards that have brought you peace and joy. Don't discount the fact that God wants to use the most difficult cards, because these cards have brought blessings, and they have given us the greatest learning lessons of life. To God, these aren't a bunch of good and bad cards. To God, they're just cards. And if we surrender, we can see the hand that we've been dealt. It can give God glory. It can remind us that it's not our story, but his story. And if we're really still, we can even catch a glimpse of heaven. So the question is, aren't you tired of pretending to deal with your deck of cards? Aren't you wore out trying to hide behind some of the more glamorous cards? Doesn't it shortchange God with the story of our life? To him, you have been given the greatest hand that you could ever imagine. And for me, I'm all in. I'll play the hand that I've been dealt.
So you saw that card, and a lot of you laughed about him being bald at 21. But, man, it's a real thing. Men get really, like, really insecure about that sometimes. So that's FYI. So so I want to kind of paint the picture here. So Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 6 through 7, it says, For to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So I want to go to today's life and where our mind's at today with technology, with social media, It's all about me. Look at me. Seeking approval on social media or seeking approval from sources that you don't need to go to. Finding your own way, finding my way. Not God's way, but my way. Selfies, look at me. And configuring a godly life later. And this is a big plague that I've dealt with in my life. I said, you know what? Let me do the things I want to do. Let me do the things that please me. And I'll please God later. Let me just live up life now. And we got to kind of rewind a little bit. And remember, we're born with carnal nature. We're born into sin. And our nature is all about me, myself, and I. And true fulfillment begins with God. Amen? So I want to rewind to Psalms 51:5. It says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." All of us are dirty. Not one is clean. Amen? And this comes from the Psalm where it says, "Lord, restore my heart and cleanse it." I want to start with some things that equate to anger. So shame and blame. So can we start with Genesis 3, 12 through 13? It says, "The man said, 'The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate it.'" So they felt shameful. They started blaming each other, started taking ownership. Adam didn't take responsibility of his actions and blamed Eve. Eve did not take responsibility of what God confronted her about and blamed the serpent. She said, "The serpent deceived me." But God wants us to have a better reaction. When we are assured that we have a relationship with Christ, we can take responsibility of our own actions and not fall into the blame game. I want to stress that God gave Adam and Eve a perfect deck. There was nothing wrong with it. They got everything. And the reason why they had to go and equate a perfect recipe for unrighteous anger is because they walked away from the truth. They walked away and went their own way. So I want to talk about insecurity. Now, there's two types of insecurity. One is God-given. When you're going through a dark alley and you're like, "Oh, I shouldn't be here. This is danger." And there's the second type is it correlates with low self-esteem. And it equates to someone who feels inadequate and worthless. Paul tells us to abandon finding our worth in anything other than Christ. So let's talk about that. In Philippians 3, 7 through 8, it says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." One way to deal with insecurity is to find your identity in Christ. Amen? And let's look at some things. Some people find their security in their good looks, their money in the bank, the car to drive, their marriage. Your deck of cards that you've been dealt with in your life may deal with shame, plus blame, or insecurity that formulates an unrighteous anger. But God wants to heal that today. He wants you to admit to your anger, repent, surrender, and give it all to him. He wants you to use all those ugly cards that you try to hide and say, hey, this is me, God. Come, and I want to commune with you. Amen. He's ready. He's at the table waiting for you. You got to come to the dinner table and eat with him. Amen? Amen. So I want to talk about the consequences of unrighteous anger. So this is where a guard comes, and Peter takes out a sword and cuts off a guard's ear. And it says, he cuts off the ear and says, put your sword back in place, Jesus said to him, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put out my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Sometimes God has to tell us like it is. He said, you don't need to back me up. I got this. I'm suffering for you. I'm going through this. And sometimes we like try to defend our failures. We try to defend the wrongdoings and justify everything. But God said, I got this, John. I got this, Bill. Let me know what's going on. I already know what's going on. Just tell me. So this verse is telling us, if you want to be angry, you can be angry. But with that anger and that sin that you're going to commit, you'll surely perish. Our anger doesn't produce the righteousness God desires. We like to think that we have righteous anger. And James challenges us. Our anger is almost always selfish. God alone has righteous anger. Anger never made anyone smarter. It clouds our judgment rather than ending injustice. It often creates injustice, as it did with Joseph. So I want to change the title of my message today. Said, I'm aligned with the deck of cards I've been dealt with. The good cards, the bad cards, have been the greatest learning lessons in my life. And I'm going to end with a quick story, because I know that God's working your hearts, and I know this message is hard. And a lot of people are quiet, because we know we're dirty. And God came to save us. So, and I like to revert to my dog. So, a lot of times when you have a dog and that's insecure, it's more likely to bite someone, because it can't tell the difference between someone trying to pet the dog or trying to harm the dog. So it'll bite you to protect itself. And then, you know, people blame the dog, but it's really the owner not training the dog well. So there's a shame to blame game, like, oh, my dog bit you. It's the dog's fault. And then there's insecurity in the dog that you haven't dealt with to build confidence in that dog. And that's why many people have dogs that bite people, because they don't know how to build confidence and transfer that there's going to be bad times and good times. So what you do is take that dog into a public area and let it listen to all the noises. Socialize that dog. And then you slowly let them enter into relationships with people. And that dog seems like, oh, this is okay. So I'm telling you, church, there are some things in our life that are really hard, really difficult. There are some things in our life that we don't want to tell anyone, but God knows. It doesn't make you an ugly person. It doesn't make you a horrible person. Those situations are the building blocks, what God uses to use you to help someone else. Amen? So with a humble heart, I ask you to go humbly before God and think about the bad cards in your deck. Face them and say, God, here they all are. And it may be anger against your wife. Why does it be anger against your husband? Maybe a fallen dream that you had and you felt having a family stop that dream. But only God only wants to use your family to help you get where he wants you to go. Because you notice it, my desires are not his desires all the time. Amen? So let's realign ourselves where God wants us to be aligned and deal with the cards we have. Amen. So I'm going to just end with a little prayer and pass it back to our pastor. God, you are doing some amazing things in our lives. And some of the things that we've done that have hurt people, that some of the situations that we were put in, we felt that, man, this is not right. My neighbor has it better off than me, and I have nothing. Lord, we submit these things to you, these feelings of anger, insecurity. Forgive us our blame to game, shame game. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, we take ownership of our sin and give it to you. Lord, we totally surrender everything we have on the inside and outside. Because we could come to church and wear a suit every Sunday, and the person on the inside is not right. So I pray and I urge our hearts to surrender. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
Thank you, John. We all appreciate that a lot. Anger is a common problem, isn't it? Most of us don't like to talk about it. And, you know, if I asked you to raise your hand, if you live with somebody who's angry, there'd be a lot of hands in this room. And maybe the person you live with is yourself. That'd be a non-threatening way to say that. But anger of man has not achieved the righteousness of God, as the scripture says. And we don't have to live by our anger. We don't have to be controlled by our anger. We can come to the Lord with it and be healed from it. I don't know how many of you noticed the sign out front this morning. It says, Jesus forgives and heals. And I can think of so many applications of that this very week. Whether it's, you know, physical healing or healing from things done to us or healing from mistakes that we've made. But there's always hope in Christ. There's no hope in the world. The world has nothing of perpetual hope. It holds out a lot of empty promises, but no perpetual hope. But in Christ, there's always perpetual hope. So thank you, John. Well, good job you did. I like your style. It's very nice.